Yeah, I'm pretty sure I got somebody else's glasses. Yeah, those things there. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. So what you guys getting for Christmas? You're getting nothing. Fucking. So I'm curious about something. What was the best Christmas gift that you ever got when you were a kid? Piano? Holy moly, how'd that get under the tree? Huh? A what? A scooter? Erector set. Of course you'd get an erector set. Yes. A what? A dirt bike. Is that what you want for this Christmas? Or is that... Oh, that's what you got. Okay. Come on now. You thought we had that planned, Don. This Wednesday, that's right. That's the biggie. Mark Wright has his final chemo this Wednesday, and he'll have a scan also that same Wednesday, just to kind of check everything out. And we're going to believe for this thing, that this thing is gone, 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 okay? And yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And we'll be there, buddy. So I just want to encourage your family, Mark, to be praying for this guy all week. You know, the closer that gets, sometimes if you've ever had to scans done or anything like that, you know, the closer that time gets, you kind of want it to be over, and you kind of want to know, and you kind of don't want to know. You know what I mean? I mean, it kind of gets like that. But we're trying to remind each other all month that through it all, we can say, even as the prophet said, we can say, come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. You are still the God who sits high and lifted up. You're still on the throne. No one has taken that from you. No one will. You alone are on the throne. You alone are in charge. I got to take a drink here. It kind of concerned me. It had some floaty thing in there. Not anymore, though. There you go. If you're a guest, welcome to Center Point Church. So I want you to be praying for Mark. Pray for his family, and let's go for this thing. How do you pray for him? Well, you pray for him as if he were your brother, as if he were your father. As if he were your son. You pray for him that way, and that'll make it quite clear how you're going to pray. And I think we probably, remind me, somebody in our ministry time, we'll pray for Mark and get around him and pray for him. So you ever squeeze or shake a present, find out what's on the inside? A little tough to do with that dirt bike, but and with that piano. But have you ever had that happen? I have a brother, only brother, and he is 100% accurate with what's in the boxes that he gets, that he squeezes and shakes. As long as I can remember, he was the one that always passed out my present. Are you with me? He would squeeze it, he'd shake and say, here's your underwear, Doug. Or, hey, here, oh, these got to be socks. I'm still scarred from that whole process. About 700 years before the birth of Jesus. Isaiah squeezed that first Christmas gift. Amen. And he shook it. Before Joseph ever unwrapped it. And the gift that he squeezed on and shook was the gift that just keeps on giving, for which we're all grateful. Here is how Isaiah put it in Isaiah 9 and verses 6 and 7. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Hang your hats this Christmas on those four names. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the... No end. Everybody say that with me. No end. To the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. Everybody say forevermore. Forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts is the one who's going to accomplish this. We are looking at the gospel according to Matthew these 4 weeks in December. Last week we looked at those first four verses beginning in verse 18. This morning we're going to take a look at verses 22 through 25, Matthew chapter 1. And even though the crux of what we want to talk about this morning, about unwrapping Joseph's gift and then unwrapping it for ourselves, it's really a part of this larger narrative that really began with verse 18. But I want to pick that up pretty much in verse 18. And we want to ask a couple of questions this morning as we unwrap Joseph's gift. The first question that we want to answer is, what did he get? If you're taking notes, what did he get? Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20 says, But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. What did he get? Well, he got, before he had unwrapped totally the gift, he got a visit from an angel. Now, I just want to say that heavenly visits have a way of settling earthly dilemmas. Are you with me? Heavenly visits have a way of settling earthly dilemmas. This was the first of four visits from an angel who is identified later in Luke's gospel as Gabriel. And if you want to check this out, the first of these we find right here in verse 20. It says that, again, what I said, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Why on earth was this the angel's message? Don't be afraid. Well, maybe it's because he found out earlier in verse 18 that the one that he was betrothed to was pregnant. That's what I call uh-oh news. An out-of-wedlock pregnancy. This was the first of four visits from Gabriel. If you'll flip over to, this is free for you, if you'll flip over to chapter 1 of Luke, hang a right at Matthew. And in chapter 1 and verse 13, here's the second of the visits from Gabriel. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name of John. And this is John, who is this? John the Baptizer, okay? And so once again, the angel has the same news to share. So why would this be uh-oh news for Zechariah? Well, when you back up, you realize we got a couple of senior adults here. And, you know, it's one thing if... It's one thing if you're Matt Bevins and your wife. Is everybody supposed to know this? That dare be what you call uh-oh news. You ask him. Let him kind of clear it up for you. Okay. No, Matt's not pregnant. But his precious bride is. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, about six of you think that's pretty exciting. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. But for a couple of senior adults to say... I want you to know that'd be uh-oh. I also want you to know that'd pretty much be immaculate conception. Okay? And I'll let you figure that out, all right? So, in a lot of ways, do not be afraid. That's the second of the angelic visits. Let's move on quickly. This thing is going south fast, all right? Verse 30, here's the third of these visits. The angel said to her, now this is to Mary. And she need to hear, don't be afraid. What is the angel saying here? It's really not uh-oh news. What they have received up to this point is uh-oh news. Even when the shepherds who get the fourth angelic visit, and we find that over in chapter 2 and verse 10. And in verse 10, but the angel said to them, to the shepherds, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Now, can you imagine? I mean, it's uh-oh for all of these people. Until the angel of the Lord shows up. So let me underscore verbally again. Heavenly. Well, you said. Heavenly visits. Okay. They visitations. They have a way of settling earthly dilemmas. So whatever dilemma that you're in, whatever you're going through, you just need to hear from God. You just need to hear from God. He will settle it. Now, does that mean that the colon cancer is always going to go away? No, it will one day. Does that mean that aging parents suffering from dementia, just all of that, does that mean that suddenly the dementia is just going to go away and everything's going to be all right? Not necessarily. Does that mean that Kyle Hamilton, who is, even though he has had some involuntary eye movement, still in intensive care in the University Hospital, this young 22-year-old, does that mean that the test that revealed that there was brain damage, does that mean that the brain damage is going to repair itself and going to go away and he's going to get up and walk out of there? Maybe not. But you know, when you hear from God in the midst of all of those things, that just settles the dilemma. I want you to know that it settles the dilemma. We're very much aware of these things. Today is the 13th anniversary of our losing our daughter. And we were both awake this morning, 3 a.m. That's the time when we lost Cheris. And this week, actually yesterday, we had the pastors over a couple nights ago and wives and small group leaders and wives over for a Cajun Christmas at our house. And Andy Oath was particularly intrigued with the vinyl record collection for some of you, we used to listen to music on these things like this. And they would go around and around and... Hey. I still have my original 8-track player. I have no idea why. That makes no... It's kind of tough to find those things. But in rummaging around in some of that archived stuff, I came across a CD that our friend Mark Thompson, used to be one of our worship leaders here, had written for Cheris just days after she passed away. He called it Cheris' Song. And so last night, against my better judgment, I put it on, not loud enough for my wife to hear. It was a CD, by the way. And so I put that on and I listened to it quietly. And Mark had written this song and had recorded this song, and it was from Cheris's perspective today. I heard from God. I received a visit from the Lord. A wonderful gift that I unwrapped last night. I can hardly wait to call Mark Thompson and tell him thank you for this. You know, so I'm just saying heavenly visits have a way of settling earthly dilemmas. It is awesome, Ken. And just sometimes, the cancer goes away. And sometimes the dementia reverses. And sometimes 22-year-olds wake up. And that's how we pray. Because the Lord is still on his throne. And his word is forever fixed in heaven, as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 119 and verse 89. What does that mean? That means when Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, when they said, teach us how to pray like you prayed, he said, well, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, seated on the throne, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it already has come, that's inherent in the Greek verbs there, already has come in heaven and already has been done in heaven. In other words, there's a fixed order in heaven. When everything is right, when there's no more dementia, there's no more cancer, there's no more sickness, there's no more divorce. You name some struggle, you name something you're going through, and there is a place where all of that is gone. And Jesus taught us to pray, why not ask that God will come down now? Why not ask that he intervene now? And so he did. In the Jesus event. That's what the Jesus event was all about. He put on skin and he came down here and he got himself involved with us. He changed us, and he's still changing us. Heavenly visits have a way of settling earthly dilemmas in taking uh-oh news and making them, oh yeah. We were praying this past Wednesday night right here in this room. Boy, and encourage you guys to come to that. Things growing and things are happening, and we really are learning how to pray with each other and together. And in the middle of some, I don't even know what was being prayed for. Cindy Campbell was sitting right, I think it was Cindy, it sounded like her voice. Could have been an angel, I don't know. Well, she is an angel. And she was sitting right up here close, and I heard her say, "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah." So whatever we were praying about, I don't even remember what it was now, but I thought, man, that just characterized the whole deal there and is able to take, that's what heavenly visits do. They take and they step in and settle earthly dilemmas, and they take uh-oh news and they make them, "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, God is here. I can do this thing." You know why I can do this thing? Let me get another drink here. Nope. Because I know that God's got this. Doesn't matter what it is that we are going through. Doesn't matter. And we need to be a church that is continually encouraging one another. God's got this. Whatever you're going through, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to turn out here on earth. I know how it has turned out already in heaven, and that's the way I'm going to pray. That's the way I'm going to pray. But I know this, when heavenly visits occur, then earthly dilemmas get settled. Because we come to a place where, in God, where we know that he's got it. He's got it. Now the "Oh Yeah" news, the "Uh-oh" news, it became "Oh Yeah" news. And here's what happened. Verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows." You'll get it. It's the very last little phrase of this verse. The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. "When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child." That's a uh-oh. Say that with me. Uh-oh. "By the Holy Spirit." Oh, yeah. That's an "oh, yeah." You see what happens? When heavenly visits get involved in earthly dilemmas, they all get settled. They get settled. So whatever you're going through, God's got it. That's what I want to say to you. He's got it. That's what causes us to say, "Come on, Jesus. Come on and get involved in my life right now. I invite you in. I'm not going to be like this King Ahaz was of 700-800 years ago. I'm not going to be before Christ. I'm not going to be caught up in that. I'm not going to do what is wrong in the sight of the Lord. I'm going to be continually seeking after you. I'm going to continually be having these experiences that Isaiah had when he was in the temple when King Uzziah had died. Ahaz's grandpa. And he's going to constantly say, you know, "Come on, Lord, I see that you're high and lifted up," and we need to also say the same thing in whatever situation that we're involved in. We need to be able to say, "Come on, God, you get involved in this thing, and it'll be all right." And, you know, here's the way it's put in 1 John and chapter 5. This is what unwrapping the Christmas gift that Joseph unwrapped, this is what it means to us. We find it in verses 11 and 12. And the testimony is this. And we back up in 1 John in that first epistle, and we find that it's the testimony of God. So the testimony of God is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. The life. You got it? Has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Come on, Jesus. Get involved. Well, that's what he got. Now, here's a second question and final question. What did he do about it? What did he do? Verse 24 of Matthew chapter 1. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And he took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Interesting phrase in New American Standard, "but kept her a virgin." Three little old Greek words, and those words literally mean he was not knowing her. Was not knowing her. So here is why Joseph, acted properly. You know, before he was wanting to put her away secretly. By the law, he could have had her stoned. But he didn't do any of that. Why? Here's why. One, he listened to the right voice. Two, he did the right thing. And three, he knew the right stuff. Now, what is the stuff that he knew? Here's the deal. When Jesus died on the cross, we will celebrate that and the resurrection, you know, in 3 or 4 months. When he died on the cross, here's the transaction that took place. God declared now, because of the sacrifice that Jesus made, God declared once and for all, now you are in right relationship with himself, with the Father. Because of what Jesus did, now he says, I declare you are in the right place. You're in right standing. And that declaration gives us the power to make right decisions, to do the right thing. When we know the right stuff, we're listening to the right voice, then we're going to do the right thing. This idea that the devil makes you do stuff, what is that? You do stuff not because a friend tells you to do it or because some counselor tells you to do it or because anything other than you do it because you choose to do it. But you don't have to do that. Why? Because now if you've come to the place where you've said yes to Jesus, you're a Jesus follower, you've unwrapped the gift, and that gift is now yours. He is in your life. You have the power resident within you to make right choices. You don't have to make wrong choices. You don't have to take the next drink. You don't have to smoke the next whatever people are smoking or shooting. You don't have to do that stuff. You don't have to watch the next smutty thing on TV or on your computer. You don't have to do that. You can choose not to do that. And it's because of the declaration that God made at the cross that started with unwrapping that gift. So what did he do? He listened to the right voice. He wasn't listening to all of the voices in his head. He wasn't listening to all of what had been taught him even in times past. He's listening to God. Which laid out for him the right thing to do. And he knew to do it because of this great declaration that God was making in him. This is Emmanuel. This is Jesus, Yeshua. He will save you. And he will save all who will believe. To which I want to say, come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Well, it's time to unwrap your gift. We pray in different ways here, sometimes small groups, sometimes one-on-one, you know, different ways. I want to ask folks, if you're so inclined, I want to ask you if there's something that the squeezing and the shaking of the gift, if there's something that you're needing, what could it be that you would be needing today? Well, if you're here this morning and you've never come to a place where you've said yes to Jesus, you need to be saved. You need to unwrap the gift for the first time And you need to say, I want this gift to be mine. If you're here and you're sick, we will pray and we will anoint you with oil and we will pray that you'll be healed. Not just that you're going to cope, but that you'll be healed. We believe that God wants, can do that and wants to do that. So we will pray that way. If you're here this morning and you're running on empty, you just got nothing. You don't know that hardly you can put one foot in front of the other. Let him fill you. Let him pour himself into you. And do what only he can do. And if you're here this morning and you're just so depressed, and I want to just say that, boy, this past week has been a week of that. Not for us, but we're encouraged. We know where our daughter is. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but we don't go to the cemetery very much because she's not there. You know, if I'm going to be reminded of her, I'm going to look at pictures. I'm going to listen to songs that friends have written and stuff. That's because that's the truth. That stuff in the ground stuff, that's not the truth. That's just the house where she lived. She's got a new house. Are you with me? She's got a new house. And I'm just saying that your loved ones, when they die in the Lord, they got a new place to live. And so I'm not trying to belittle anyone's melancholy feelings, or maybe even kind of depression kind of thing, a sadness, you know, that comes. This is a horrible time for us because that's why we don't decorate our trees anymore at our house and stuff. We have Christmas trees. I mean, we got Christmas trees 12 months out of the year. If you've been to our house, you know that. We got two in our house. And they get lit every day, too. But that's a good thing. But our daughter, she loved to do all that stuff. She just made things fun, you know, and had this guffaw laugh all the time. But I don't get sad about that. I mean, even though I was awakened, you know, this morning at 3 and stuff, and, you know, that was the first thing I thought of. I thought, yeah, but, you know, what's Christmas look like from your perspective today, Cherish? That's kind of stuff. That's how I think, okay? Are you kidding? You know? But I don't want to also demean anyone who is just feeling really depressed. I mean, really down about stuff. You're stuck, okay? You're stuck. Maybe you've been stuck for... Usually when you are in a place where you are sad and you are finding it difficult to put one foot in front of another and some other things, when that lasts about 6 months or so, you've probably got something more than just sadness going on there. But you know what? If you're depressed, and we ran into a lot of that this week, you know, from Thanksgiving until New Year's is the time when, you know, counselors, we were with our friend Les Castle yesterday as a hospice chaplain for Preferred Hospice, and he underscored again, he said, I'm so busy right now. I said, because, you know, there are more deaths in nursing homes that happen during this time than any other time because of depression and things like that. So I'm not poo-pooing any of that, but if you feel like you're suffering from some of that, come and let us pray for you. He can be and will be the glory and the lifter of your head. Or if there's any other thing that you just need prayer for, you know, we want to just take these next 10, 12 minutes or so before we have to get our children. And let's just pray. Let's just pray, okay? So we'll sit quietly. It's not about jacking you all up and having you come up here and all that stuff. If you want to be prayed for, when you come, I'll have others come and pray for you. So let's just kind of wait on God, okay? Let's just do that. If you're so inclined to do so, Mark Wright's right back here. Raise your hand, Mark. Raise your hand. If some folks would like to just get around Mark and pray for him. If you need to go get your children, if you've not already done so, go get your kiddos, okay? And God bless you. And we'll see you next week. I think we're going to have a visit from a wise man next week, so no camels allowed, but the wise man, he's proud Melchior, is going to show up next week, I'm pretty sure, so.
As the prophet Isaiah enters, he is speaking to himself at first regarding King Uzziah, the young and highly successful king of Judah. Uzziah's reign was most prosperous, according to 2 Chronicles 26:5, as long as he sought the Lord. It all changed, however, and according to 2 Chronicles 26:16, but when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. The prophet speaks.
He was only 16 years old. 16? He was just a lad. And yet he became king. 16 years old. And yet he had won the hearts of all of Judah. 16. It seemed that he could do no wrong as long as he sought the Lord. Why, God prospered him, this young king Uzziah, as long as he sought the Lord. Something happened. He took his eyes off of the Lord. Why would he do this thing? And in the temple, of all places, in the temple, that's where I found myself. I did not find myself in the temple. The truth is, God found me. Our country was mourning, and I was there to burn incense, to pray for our country, because we had lost this young king. It was the year that Uzziah had died. And I was just there, I thought, to pray for our country, but then I saw the Lord. He was seated on his throne and high and lifted up, and suddenly it was as though his glory, his presence was all around me. And then I heard the voices of many crying out, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." I'm still shaken from that experience. When the Lord sought me out, Isaiah, who am I? I had to tell everyone that I knew that God had come down. He had come to me. And he was reigning even though our king was dead. Oh, there. There were thrones that would be occupied, and then they would not be occupied. Kings would come and go, but the Lord of glory, He reigns forever. Forever and ever, and of His government there shall be no end. His kingdom is forever. That's what I heard that day. Kings would come and go. Young Uzziah, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and then he didn't. It all went wrong. Why? Then his son Jotham, he started out so right. He sought the Lord. And then it went wrong and more wrong. Ahaz, Uzziah's grandson, he was all wrong. There was not one good thing in him. Do you know that he sacrificed his son? What kind of a king does that? What kind of a father does that? Who would sacrifice his son? I have a saying in my country. The figs do not fall far from the fig tree. Kings would come and go. But the Lord God, is still reigning. He's on His throne, and His kingdom will never end. So He called me that very day to tell everyone that He is still reigning. It doesn't matter what is going on here in our country. He is still in charge. So I thought, I've got to tell. I must tell the king. That would be the good place to start. Wouldn't you agree? So I went to King Ahaz and I warned him. I said, this wrong king who sacrificed his son, I said, you must surely seek the Lord all your days, or your days will come to an end. They will not last. And you must continually seek the Lord. Seek Him while He may be found, for He will be found by you. Continually seek Him, or you will not last. So I said to Ahaz, ask for a sign and make it a big one. Do you know he refused? No sign. Get away. I want nothing to do with your God. What? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who occupies His throne forever. You want nothing to do with Him? Are you crazy? You know, prophets, we can be pretty stubborn. This one was. May I say to you, when you're in the temple for the purpose of meeting with God, meet Him. Meet Him. Seek Him while He may be found, for He will be found by you. So I went back to Ahaz and I said, you don't want a sign? I'm going to give you one anyway. A virgin will conceive and will bear a son,
And his name will be called Emmanuel. God with us. How's that for a sign, Ahaz? So the next time you're in the temple to meet with God, meet him. He's the King of Glory. Ever seated on his throne. He's Emmanuel. Oh, come. Come, Lord. Come upon us, Lord. Again and again and again.